Hi.
Welcome to another episode of the House of Noise podcast.
Am I welcoming you? Oh, no, I'm welcoming our listeners. Never mind.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to you, too.
And welcome to you.
Yeah, thank you.
So we're deciding that we were going to start cherry picking a couple of our interviews.
Yeah.
This interview we did in April of last year.
Wow.
April 7th, I believe, of 2019. We had the great pleasure of speaking to Mr. David Ellefson.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Of Megadeth. He was out touring with Frank Bello of Anthrax. Him and Frank had a little side project they called Altitudes and Attitudes, or A&A as they like to call it. And we got to talk to him about that. We also got to talk to him about Headbangers Con the previous year. We talked to him about
his
Mustaine.
Coffee.
Yeah, his coffee. We talked to him about Mustaine because Mustaine had just been diagnosed with cancer at that time. So we talked to him a little bit about that. Man, what else did we talk about? We talked about Altitudes and Attitudes, obviously, because he was really pushing that hard. I mean, he was so easy to talk to.
Mm-hmm. And his bass story tour.
Yes, and we talked to him.
Which he hadn't made it to Michigan at that time yet.
Yes.
Before it was announced that he was coming to Michigan.
But we didn't get to make it out to it.
No, yeah, we did.
Oh, we did.
We
that's
did,
right.
Yeah.
Yes. Because that's when we met
Opus. I got
Opus.
My poster signed.
Yeah, and Opus from Dead by Wednesday. And Chuck Baylor was there.
Yeah.
Who played with them on which album?
So Far, So Good, So What.
Yes.
And he was Gar Samuelson's drum tech. So that's how he got the gig in Megadeth for
and
a while.
And I caught Chuck's, well, it actually was Opus's drumstick, but he got up and actually played with David again, and he threw out the drumstick, and I freaking snatched that bitch right out
yeah.
the air. I got a picture of Chuck with it in his mouth, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I got him and Opus both sign it. So
that was cool. Yeah.
It was a really special night for us when he came back around. I totally forgot that was the bass story. Because he was promoting his, it wasn't bass story. He was promoting his own self-titled.
Oh, it was, his self-titled.
Yeah, he was out promoting his album Sleeping Giants. But we had a really great time speaking to David when we met him again for the Sleeping Giants tour with Tom Hazard, which if you listen to the previous episode with Noah Robinson from Bleed the Sky, he actually knows Tom Hazard. Tom had helped them to produce their first album.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't their first album. It was more like a demo. But,
yeah.
So, yeah.
Well, he kind of like helped them along the way. And they were fans of Chimera, which was a band that Tom had produced and stuff, which I love Chimera.
So,
they've actually come to the machine shop a long time ago.
The night that we interviewed David was the first time we ever met Tom. And then obviously when they came back, Tom sings for David on his album. So we got to meet him again and hang out with them. And the Dead by Wednesday Opus we mentioned earlier, we will get that episode up there soon too. So, which was a really fun with Opus and Dave of Dead by Wednesday. But yeah, we got lots
of... Well, we should let them listen and
we got
and let
lots
them
of,
be the judge.
Lots of great interviews that we've done over the last couple of years. And, you know, our original plan was to upload each one in order. Sequential order. Yes. Thank you. But, you know, we started thinking about it and we're like, you know, let's start picking out the good ones because there was a lot of really good ones in there. I'm not saying that any of them are bad, but... You know, these are the ones that particularly stood out to us and we had a lot of fun doing.
You know, I have to.
This is like our crown jewel right here.
Yeah. Well, and we have a lot of crown jewels. And I think a friend of mine paid us the highest compliment last night and that we went to see Saving Abel because our friend David Willey from Iron Core Resistance is their guitar tech and stuff.
And, yep. and merch guy.
And merch guy. And so I wanted to go and meet him. So anyway, so my friend basically said, you know, the guitarist from Saving Abel came down, Scott, and, you know, we were just like talking to him. And my friend is like, you guys just seem so natural at it. Like you make it look so easy. And she's like, I couldn't do it. And I'm like, I'm, you know, I've learned because I've been doing this for a couple of years now that ultimately, it doesn't matter how big or not big the band is, they're human beings and they would prefer to be treated.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them, I mean, there are the small percentage that are divas and want to be literally or see themselves as like something other than human, and they like to be worshipped and stuff like that. I'm not talking about those particular musicians. I'm talking about the kind.
There's really not that many of them.
No, maybe a handful that are a little too full of themselves.
A lot of times, what you perceive as that is not really that. It's just, you know, they've made such a name for themselves that, you know, they can't. They're almost celebrity in a sense, or they are celebrity in a sense that you know, they'll get bombarded and it gets overwhelming, and you know, it's, you gotta be cautious about certain things.
Yeah, people are freaking, I mean, there's, we all know what happened to Dimebag.
Yeah, there's a lot of crazy people out there. Yeah. So
yeah, watch a Meyer video.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother show.
Yeah, we're not.
Go ahead.
I don't know if people will get that reference, but it's still funny.
Oh, it is funny.
So we hope everybody enjoys this episode of House of Noise. And we talked to David Ellison from Megadeth. And, you know, we would normally do an update. But, you know, obviously at this time, Mustaine's doing better. He's, you know, he's gone through the chemo.
Yep. They're practicing for.
Right now they're in Europe actually playing.
Oh, are they?
They're okay. On their tour.
I'm
going
to have to check out some YouTube video of that just to see.
I think they just played their second show last night as of when this aired. So,
yeah, but that's good. So hopefully I'm going to keep my fingers crossed because I'm a part of the Megadeth fan club now. I actually joined paid fan membership. So I should be getting any kind of like email update as far as if it's
yeah, and rumors,
you know,
or you're talking about an actual page.
Like actual like paid membership, if they are actually going to be on Mayhem, and I will have like codes and, you know, ticket information, all that. So
you really want to go see them?
She's
a little bit of a fan. Oh,
and
we didn't even talk about the most exciting thing of that night.
Oh,
was before the interview even happened. We got inside to, you know, see if Dave was ready to talk to us. And as we knocked on the door to lounge area, who answers the door?
Oh, Bumblefoot.
Yep. And he goes, "Hi, I'm Ron." And Jenna goes, "I know who you are. You're Bumblefoot."
I had a small moment of being a fan, a small moment, and that's like the one and only time
it caught her by surprise.
It caught me by surprise and threw me off my game, and I was not expecting it, which I think is why I was like, had a, oh shit, it's, you know, Mumblefoot literally standing in front of me. You know, I did have a fan moment. So, and then I did apologize for him. I did apologize to him later for that, because I'm like, I realize you are just a human being, and I did not mean to like get weird or make the interaction weird. It's just, I didn't expect Bumblefoot to be standing in front of me, and you know, so yeah.
He was a super nice guy too.
He was very, very nice.
We were really hoping that we would get Frank on the interview too, but I guess he was having a little bit of trouble with his voice, so he wanted to rest it before the show, but we talked to him afterwards, and, you know, hopefully someday we can get Frank on the show, because I think that would be really fun to talk to Frank too. So anyway, enjoy the episode, and there's no update afterwards, so
nope,
just enjoy
the episode. Lay back, relax, and enjoy a little bit of David. Well, this is Jenna and Jim from House of Noise, and we have a very special guest with us tonight for a little while. We have David Ellison from Megadeth and ANA, who's here at the Machine Shop in Flint. So how are you doing?
Great. How are you?
Good.
Haven't been here in a while. Last time I was at this venue, I played played bass for Soulfly. I was out here for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm funny, I remember sitting here. I don't think they actually had this lovely little lounge that we're in at the time.
And
Jada Pinkett Smith was the support act. And
no way.
She was out here with her tour buses, and she was just the sweetest lady. And she wanted to go be a rock star for a month.
Yeah.
So why not? You know, she can afford to be a rock star.
Oh, really?
Most people
can't. Yeah, she could just go out and do it, right?
If you're a movie star, you can afford to be a rock star.
Well, it's funny. We were just talking about before we came and interviewed you. Well, we were wondering if you had played at the Machine Shop before.
That's the only time. Yeah. And I know, you know, I have my other group, I have Metal Allegiance. They did a tour. They came through here. I was busy, I think, doing Megadeth stuff at that time. So, and it's funny, Bumblefoot played with them. And Bumblefoot is here with us tonight playing guitar.
Yeah, we actually met him.
Yeah, he's super great. And you know what's funny? He just joined the band Asia. Lead singer and lead guitar player for Asia. Yeah.
Awesome.
Wow.
He and the keyboard player Jeff Downs have been friends, so they invited him to join the band. They're doing a big tour with Yes this summer, so be on the lookout for that.
Yeah.
Oh, we definitely will.
Isn't that cool? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that is very, very cool. No, when we walked in, he introduced himself as Ron.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I looked at him and I got a little starstruck and I was like, you're Bumblefoot.
You look like a Bumblefoot to me. Yeah.
I said to Jim, I said, did I even tell him my name? Because I don't remember now. This is you and Frank Bellows' project from Anthrax, ANA, as you guys call it, which makes it a lot easier.
Altitudes and Attitudes.
Yeah, we sure.
And you know, funny when you think about it, you know, ANA, we actually comes up probably as AAA in the phone book. So we're like the first one you call if you need like music services, you know,
right.
DJ, entertainment, right? AAA, we're first in the phone book. Yeah.
So I was going to tell you that him and I were watching one of the videos of you and Frank, and it was a jam session. And I just, the chemistry between you guys is so fun to watch and is so authentic.
Yeah.
But I understand why you did this, because this was part of the bass things you did for Heartkey.
Yeah.
And stuff.
Yeah. That is where it started. You know, funny, Frank said to me last night when we got off stage in Fremont, Ohio, he said, you know, he goes, we really need to push out a different photo, because the promotion photos, it kind of were the setup of this, initially started with me and Frank each holding a bass. And that was when we did our first three-song EP back in 2014.
Yeah.
And then, you know, the story, of course, is that we started with bass clinics and we're known as bass players in our respective bands. But the reality of it is that this is now its own band. It's not just a record. It's not just a project. It's a real band and it's a real thing. And so it's another band that I'm in. Basically, I'm in three bands. I'm in Megadeth. I'm in Metal Allegiance, and I'm in Altitudes and Attitude. Those are my three groups that I have. And so there's a legitimate band. And Frank said, he goes, you know, we should push out. We had some great photos from Chicago the other night. Mm. And he and a friend of mine did some photography. And he said we should use that because, you know, it's Frank playing guitar and singing, which is his role in ANA. And I'm the bass player in ANA. And I said, you know, you're right. And so we actually hit the record label last night. I hit them and said, you know, let's change this, because, you know, bands, they you know, you got to get out here in the trenches. And look, we're out in a van, we're driving ourselves,
we're doing everything.
Yeah, it's like the Killing Is My Business tour all over again. but it's fun because, you know, now we know what to expect, you know. And I mean, we are working hard. I mean, we are, you know, this isn't private jets and, you know, limos and private servants, and, you know, I mean, we're out here doing it all ourselves, and it's, you know, every band has to start there. If you don't start there, you're not worthy of the golden crown, you know. And just like when you start your own business, man, and if you haven't been the salesman, the marketing guy, you know, cook the sauce and the food yourself and served it to the customer yourself, you're not worthy of owning the restaurant, you know. And that's kind of, I think, my experience with it. But yeah, I mean, we're doing some morning acoustic radio, and then we're doing, you know, press and media during the day. We're doing VIP dinners. We're doing record in-store signings. We're doing the show. I mean, some days we're literally playing four or five shows a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Wow. That is insane.
So we're not above it. We've sold millions of records and have Grammys and Grammy nominations. And, you know, the truth of it is when you jump off of that perch, you know, to start something new, I mean, you're back at square one. And we didn't call it Bello Ellefson, which I kind of was pushing for.
Because
I thought
it
would be an easier association. People would know who we are, you know, but the Altitudes and Attitude thing had already been pushed out, and people, you know, everybody's like, yeah, they like that. They like the name. It has an association. I'm like, all right, that's fine. This way it won't be a solo project yet, you know.
It's
still a band, and you know, so it has its own identity now.
Yeah, well, when I saw you guys were going to be here, I told my partner here, Jim, I said, we're buying tickets.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I had not even heard any of the stuff yet.
Yeah.
And it was just because, obviously, I'm a Megadeth fan. Yeah. I'm an Anthrax fan. But just, you know, I wanted to support you guys. And I was super excited. Yeah. You were coming to Flint yeah. because I know you're doing Bay Story.
Yeah.
And I was sad to see that you weren't hitting Michigan on your Bay Story tour.
We're still planning to do that. In fact, you know, it's interesting that that's kind of a nice transition because, you know, now that A&A is up and running and we're, you know, got it up and running. And you both here and overseas. We have, we launched this thing. On the East Coast, mid-January, around New York. And then we went over to Europe for 2 weeks. Slash took us out on some dates.
Nice.
So we have a drummer and guitar player over there and kind of a crew and everybody we use. So we've got sort of our overseas team and our U.S. team here that we, you know, use for our crew and backing musicians. And, you know, now that it's up and running, and this is kind of how it is, you know, as Frank calls it, stick and run, you know.
Right.
Kind of a week at a time. It works well with our family lives, with our you know, Anthrax, Megadeth lives.
Right.
But the next thing coming up for me is my new book, More Life With
yes.
Death.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
Which is coming out in July. And I actually have kind of a couple of cool little things. There's I've been working on an album. I have this one song called Sleeping Giants.
Ah. When do you sleep?
I know.
Right, sleepy.
I know. One day I'll probably fall over.
Right.
But I have this album that I've been working on. And I had this song called Sleeping Giants. And my partner Tom, we started working on some songs and putting some things together. And he goes, you know, we really should call this Ellis and Sleeping Giants. And it's a bunch of songs that I've had that I've written with people over the years. And so I'm probably giving away some secrets. Tom would kill me for talking about right now, but you know, and we're going to put that out with the book, and then going to trigger some more Bass Story. And
fiction, nice.
We might call it Book Story, actually.
Yeah, right.
Book
for sure.
Storyteller. But you know, that'll be a nice way to keep, to especially now with this Ozzy Megadeth tour being pushed back, which, mm-hmm. you know, we were wondering where that was going to land
because,
you know, there's been most of his work has been sort of pushed back or canceled.
Because of his health
this year.
And stuff.
Yeah. So sad, obviously not a total surprise, but obviously we want our Ozman to be well, you know.
Yes, and, definitely.
He's a friend of ours, so we want him to be well. And
I was going to say, you guys have toured with him a few times.
Yeah. And so we did, actually, you know, it's funny. We did a South America Black Sabbath Megadeth tour in 2014, and they had never toured South America before.
Really?
And we'd actually done shows down there with Ozzy back, I think, in 98, Monsters of Rock. We'd played a handful of cities down there with him. So, we've done stuff with Ozzy over the years and Sabbath, of course. So, you know, but with that said, look, the summer, you know, kind of opens up the summer now for us with Megadeth to really get cranking on getting this new record done. Which is good. But along with that, then I'm going to be doing some stuff around the release of the book, and which would be nice. And because now the Bass Story, you know, brand is out and that's
right.
up and running. I've done that around the world. Now there's a great opportunity to just sort of plug that in with the promotion of the book.
Definitely.
Because that's what Bass Story is. It's a storyteller thing. And some of the stories are in the book, and now I can, you know, go a little deeper in some of that and have it it's a nice way to promote the book and have people come out and have a night out.
Well, I'm definitely going to be buying the book.
Good. Well, thank you. Wait. Yeah. I got to tell you, I love it. It's really good. You know, my first book was my first book I wrote was called Making Music Your Business.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. I saw that one.
Came out in 97. And then my second book, which most people kind of think of as my first book, is my first memoir. My Life With Death. It was an interesting one because I had this whole season away from Megadeth. I was at home with my family doing other, you know, other kinds of work, you know, working for Peavey. I got involved in some business. I went to college. And all the while I played with Soulfly, came to the Eugene job, you know,
cool. Yeah.
I had F5. I did these other, you know, I stayed very active musically, but, that book was an interesting book because I'd been working I helped start a church. And my thought was, it's like, hey, this is a season of life when I'm not confined to just my identity being in a band. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever the good Lord wants me to do, just say yes and go do it. You
exactly.
know, he's the boss. Let the chips fall where they may. And
that was definitely another thing that we talked about was the fact after you'd left Megadeth for that little period of time, that must have been spiritual for you to be able to go out with any band and be like, you want to play? Let's play.
Yeah. Well, you know, I grew up in Minnesota, so I played in a ton of cover bands. We all start kind of playing cover songs. And then, you know, we start writing some originals, and you realize you can't get hired with your originals, so you got to play covers.
Right.
And And I got some of the guys that were in those bands, they tell some stories in the new book, which are super funny. You know, like things like, you know, we used to have a set list. We'd show the club so we'd get hired. And then when we came in,
then do whatever you wanted.
Money, 38 special. And then it was like, oh, yeah, we replaced that with Motorhead and Iron Maiden. And, you know, we'd come in, we were like a metal band. We never were a very good prom dance band, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, you kind of learned what you got to do to just to get hired. And but, you know, it's tough, man, doing the original thing there. And that's when I then moved to L.A. when I graduated in 83 and certainly met Dave and we started Megadeth. And, you know, so since I was 18, you know, I'd always been in an original music band, got our Combat record deal in 84. So I'd had a record deal since I was 19, like through my entire career, you know? And so you're always, you know, you're recording songs for record companies, making original music, original master, you know, tracks and recordings and stuff. So all of a sudden this Megadeth ends and I'm like, now what? And so I did, I just started seeing yes. And people were asking me to come in and play and, and I naturally kind of gravitated in with people. We shared the same record collection, you know, Priest and Maiden.
Right. Van Halen. All the good ones. Yeah. Now that they consider classics.
Yeah, now classics. But it was great because I realized we're all the same age. We all grew up on the same stuff. Right. And we all have fun playing. Yeah. And so it really got my kind of my cover band, my cover music chops back up again. And how much just I enjoyed playing Wrathchild from Iron Maiden and Ace of Spades and, you know, the...
Oh, gotta love Ace of Spades.
You know, Green Man Alishi and, you know, right. sort of stuff we all grew up on. And that really inspired, got my juices flowing again for just having fun with music and just realizing that being in a cover band wasn't something that, well, I'm just doing this until I can be an original artist.
Right.
I got to go back to it again in a whole new light and really enjoy it. And that's kind of where Metal Allegiance spun out of that. And then, you know, with all these bands, we end up doing original music because we all write and we're capable songwriters. So it's fun to then collaborate. Sure. So, you know, all these things have still continued to have record deals and do original things, but... You know, even with A&A, you know, we pop with once in a while, we'll wing a cover tune in once in a while. And it's fun because it's just, it just shows kind of our history as well.
Yeah, which is nice. Definitely nice.
That was like one of the videos we watched. You guys just sat down and just started doing Pearl Jam, like out of nowhere.
Yes, I know. And the other day we did an in-store and, you know, Ron, you just put a quarter in the guy and he's like, he's a, you know, human jukebox. I mean, that guy can literally play for hours.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're playing, you know, Kansas Carry On Wayward Son, which I literally haven't played since I was like 12. You
know? That's Anthrax covered that recently, didn't they?
Did they? I don't know.
Yeah, I think so. I think they did. I think they did. Yeah, they did because I played it on the show.
So before we run out of time, though, I want to talk to you about Headbangers Con.
Yes.
So we actually talked to Chris 51. We're friends with all those guys, too. Yeah. So
Lucky, Brett.
Yeah. Great. Well, you know, it's funny. Charlie Benante hit me one day and said, hey, I want to introduce you to my friend Chris. He's going to do this Headbanger Con. And I'd seen a couple little announcements about it. I think Jose Mangan or something was announcing.
Yeah, he was a huge part of that, too.
Yeah. And I said, I have an agent that books me on a lot of these conventions. And the metal and kind of spooky horror con movie, those seem to connect better with our fans.
Yeah.
Right. Some of the just straight Comic-Con where it's more kind of Star Wars and that. Yeah, it's a little mom and dad and the kids. You know? But, you know, the spooky, you know, and there's chainsaws and hatchets and death and blood, you know, our fans seem to resonate with that. So I do a lot of those and they're a lot of fun. And you know, when I thought the idea of doing a legitimate Headbanger Con.
Yeah.
All metal.
Yeah, start with metal and bring the other elements in rather than starting with horror movies and sort of bringing the metal element in. I thought it was so cool. And I think it was successful. I think he's talking certainly about doing his next one.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was glad to be a part of it. I've got a lot of experience doing them, and it was fun to bring my little convention kit into the thing, you know?
Right. Well, hopefully you'll be able to, when they do it again next year and they pick Chicago, which is what we're hoping for, because that's closest to us.
Either Chicago or New York or Florida, I think, are the three.
Which nice. Just Chicago would be nice that you'll be able to come back.
I hope so. Yeah. Chris is wonderful. A great guy. And he's just got a good heart for it. So, yeah, look, my answer is always yes. You know, if I can make it happen, I'm there. You know,
well, you were willing to chat with
us. So. Yeah, I don't sleep. Yeah, yeah. That's why I have a coffee company. You just drink a ton of coffee and off you go. Yeah.
Which,
is coffee going to be available here?
It is. Yes, we have the Altitudes and Attitude Artist Signature Roast. We'll be here tonight.
Good, because I was sad at Rock on the Range that Elson Coffee was supposed to be there, and I did not see Allison.
Yeah, no, you know, they went through some changes. They went through with the promoter level. You know, Danny Wimmer, is just, he loves coffee. He loves having the artist activations, as they call it. You know, so he loves artist, you know, products and
right.
things like that. So he loved the whole idea of coffee. We had a great couple years with him, you know, that we did stuff. But there are some changes internally with their operation that and we didn't end up, you know, clicking in with
them. I love that you do coffee, though, because, you know, everybody does, you know, the liquor, they do the beer and, you know, all yeah. that kind of
Someone's
stuff.
Someone's got to sober them up so they can get home.
That's yeah. right. That's
and
right.
like you said, you know, what do 90% of what you drink in the studio? You drink coffee.
You right. drink coffee, yeah. Yes. And, you know, the thing that we found doing, especially doing the festival thing, was that, you know, during the day, that's not the time to be drinking hot coffee. You want to cool down. So that's when we started doing our cold brew.
Okay.
We've actually got a great nitro company that we're using now to do some of our nitro, cool. the stuff on tap, you know.
Awesome.
So it's yeah, super fun, man. Like it's been that. A fun. It's I love it. You know, I don't drink alcohol anymore, so right. for me, coffee's my labor yes. of love. And
coffee, and, you need it to survive.
Yeah, I love it. It's fun. It's part of my lifestyle. You know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, we just got
got
the nod. Yeah. So, David, thank you so much for giving us your time today.
Yeah, we really appreciate it. Have fun.
Thank you.